Boys Ain't Show, episode 525. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Jeff Keighley needs to buy some fucking dress shoes. God damn that man.
Fucking spell his name properly, too.
What was he wearing?
He was wearing sneakers. He was wearing, like, a suit, and he was wearing sneakers.
And, like,
it looked
bright,
terrible.
Bright blue fucking... Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, just as
some people
fact.
Try to do that style, you know, I don't know.
Some people can pull it off. You need the right sneakers. Jeff Keighley, not one of those people.
But as I was saying, like, his main problem is you don't spell Jeff that way.
Just my dad spelled it that way, so.
Was anybody else interested in being it and Christopher Nolan?
Why was Christopher Nolan there? Nobody knows.
I didn't think Christopher Nolan knew why he was there.
Like, what is this? What am I doing?
Like, he only just, like, read off of a postcard, I think. And he had no energy. It's like somebody put a camera, like, just do, like, 50 of these, and they'll send them out. Have a good one.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes they make weird choices on that show.
All right, I have successfully disrupted the intro once again.
Earl is here.
And the award for... Oh, wait, sorry. We have breaking news. World exclusive time. World exclusive. Go on.
World exclusive.
Jeff is here.
Hi.
World exclusive, and Jeff.
And that's G-E-O-F-F, right?
Yeah.
J-O-O-F?
Just to note, also, Jeffrey from Toys R Us spelled his name that way as well.
I know. It's wrong.
But he went out of business, therefore, he went the wrong way.
He went out of business in the States. He's still in business in Canada.
He's also a massive tool, like the other Jeff.
Wow. Coming in hot.
Wow.
Are Jeff not fans of Jeffs with G's? We're getting up on the end of the year, and... as we announced last week, we have pushed back our Game of the Year discussion to sometime in January. But, you know, the generations are turning over, and we need to record some shows so we can take some time off at the end of the year and enjoy video games instead of just talking about them. Also, maybe celebrate with our family, you know, by ourselves.
Wait, what? No, no, video games.
Just video games.
Whatever.
So we are going to do top 10s for the Xbox One, the PlayStation 4, and the generation in general over the next three episodes. And then a Hall of Fame episode for New Year's, for the first episode of the New Year. So, yeah, come with us today as we crack into the Xbox One.
Well, just before we start, I just wanted to clarify something, because this is something I had a question of as well. Yeah. Because of the weird, like, the generations are clearly defined by Microsoft and Sony right now. Nintendo adds, like, the Wii U and the Switch, which overlapped with both gens. So, for the sake of this, I think Chris said, basically, it was from the launch of the Xbox One and PS4, which was November 2013, through, I mean, essentially November 2020, so that 7-year window. Games that were released at time counted. For the overall list, Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 list are easy enough to do.
Yeah, the overall list is where Nintendo would, you know, kind of factor in. Or PC games.
Or handheld or mobile.
Right, if you wanted to fit stuff in there. I don't know, does handheld have a different generation? Do they?
I mean, they don't have any generations anymore.
Right, because now it's console and handheld at the same time.
Yeah, or mobile. But yeah, I mean, I would imagine, like, the DS and the 3DS were all in different time frames.
But yes, as Earl said, Xbox One and PS4, a little bit easier to do, as we can just identify what was on those boxes and go, here we go. The overall list, a little more jumbled, maybe a little more chaotic. We did not set methodology, though, for making up our individual lists. How did you guys kind of form your lists?
I Googled Xbox One games. I just chose the first 10 games that I saw.
But you didn't stick to exclusives. You didn't cure games that were on the system. This is what I played.
I just went into my achievement list and looked at the games that I had played and picked the best ones.
Fair enough.
I have a mixture. Essentially, I tried to do, I think, my top three. So it's not ordered exactly how it should be ordered, but my top three, I think, are going to be exclusive or games that are synonymous with the system. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of them tends to be a mixture of a lot of the big titles, at least for me, between the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 are kind of cross-platform titles. So it wouldn't be a super list. I think Sony, it would be easier to make a list of Sony, but even then, I still think there are titles that were non-exclusive that had a bigger impact. And I think the ones that were harder to do, and I'm still kind of going through this now, are, like, it's easy to do the retail games. It's sometimes harder to remember, like, when, like, the digital titles came out, and, like, they don't necessarily always stick out as much to you when you're going to end of the year, yes, because, or you go to Google, and you type Xbox One games, you're mostly going to get retail titles first.
Sure, yeah. Did you guys, forgot what I was going to say there. So, did you guys include, multiples for, series? Like, I only included one per series. I included the better just so I could have a more diverse list.
Yeah. I included one per series and then like, some games I gave to Xbox just because that's where I played them, and then some games I gave to PlayStation just because that's where they got big first.
Sure, I could see that.
I don't know. There's a sort of logic to it all. Yeah,
it's funny,
one game I gave to PlayStation, I didn't play it on PlayStation, but I'm like, well, that was where like it got popular.
It got big,
So,
I could see that. Like that's the PlayStation was my exclusive box, like that's pretty much all I played over there, where the Xbox was more, I played everything, so that one's a little more diverse for me. But let's jump into it. Earl, you want to kick us off with your number 10?
We're going away. Okay. And again,
for what number 10 for what
the Xbox. Xbox, we're starting with the Xbox this week, we'll do PlayStation 4 next week, and then generation title the week after.
Okay,
sorry, we are recording them all at once. So.
I was going to say, my number 10 already kind of breaks the list, but it was hard for me not to include it on the list. And it came out in 2014, but it's technically a cross-gen title. But I love it so much, it's hard not to have it on. So it's going to be Shovel Knight. I think Shovel Knight has been, to me, it's one of the, it was a culmination, I think, of like the Xbox arcade movement with digital first titles. It was the one that finally took the identity of like pixel arts and was like, no, we're going to craft a modern game using the same graphic sensibilities that they would have used in the 16-bit era, but if it had continued going on beyond the 64-bit era. And it's an amazing package, and the way they continue to support it, I think, 3 or 4 years after it came out with new content that was all pretty much free for the base game, it still remains one of the benchmark games for me of the past decade.
Nice.
And just a great tribute to, like, the NES era, I feel like. And, yeah, that game's awesome.
Yeah, it's, like, definitely drew inspiration from, like, Mega Man and DuckTales. And,
yeah.
Great 80s, great, like, NES platformers, so.
Yeah, and then again, finding ways where it's like, oh, okay, what makes sense in this era where it's like, you know, it has some elements of the Dark Souls game where it's like you get hit and you can pick up your gear again, but you, like, if you died over a pit, it's going to be almost impossible to get that again, but you can try.
And they kept expanding on it, like, over the course of the generation, so I think it just finally completed, like, not too long ago. Jeff, what do you got at number 10?
My number 10 is kind of a cheat as well, because it's Rare Replay, and, you know, it's just a collection of old games.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a cut above your usual collection of old games. Just both the selection of games, like Rare has just such a cool library, and like the care that went into the package, tons of like behind the scenes stuff. know, like making of stuff of Conker and stuff like that. So that's why it's my number 10.
It's a really good package too. Filled with a ton of like excellent games and then some
old ancient
games, but like they're cool to explore, right? Like
there's people I guarantee you that love some of those old like adventure games. So.
It's just like some of those. I forget what the system was, but they are rough to play now. But yeah. I'm sure somebody loves them. My number 10 is Inside, which is the Play Dead title from they're the guys that did Limbo. A neat 2D puzzle platformer. I thought really kind of elevated that. Sort of indie platformer, another level. I played it on just about everything now, so I thought it deserved a spot somewhere. Tony?
I have Gears 5. I think I have some very, very fond memories of playing Horde mode in this game, and I think it's outstanding. It's one of the best gameplay modes in any game ever. And I really like the way that Microsoft and what's the studio that does Gears?
The Coalition.
The Coalition has supported the game post-launch because they have really put so much work into this game and constantly trying to make it better. The campaign was interesting, very different from the other Gears campaigns with like the open world elements. So really cool game.
Yep.
Number 10. Why not?
Earl, what do you got at number 9?
Again, another dead silent chess. This one, I don't necessarily know if everybody's going to agree with it, but again, one of those things where I think it's more kind of the expectations of where the franchise was and what it ended up being. But Sonic Mania.
Oh, okay.
Because you'd say the 2000s and the early 2010s wasn't great for Sonic.
No.
That's being kind. Well, I mean, you can love them all. Can you say they're great games?
I think like Sonic Forces is legit underrated, but yeah, whatever.
But even then, I think
it's not a great game. It's good.
But Mania came out before that, so even then, that would still be.
I think this is a great choice, Earl. I totally forgot about this one, so I'm happy that somebody chose it.
Yeah, I mean, part of it was I went back to play it a couple of weeks ago, and just like how again, kind of like Shovel Knight. How it kind of pays homage to the old Sonic games while actually finding you kind of advancing the formula and doing something new and interesting with the world. Again, especially after so many experiments in 3D, which has not been great. Let's go with that. It was a nice return to form. Great music, some fun bosses. Yeah, just a gem of a game. No pun intended.
Yeah, I think Jeff and I are fully in agreement with everything you said there.
Great game.
Tony, not so much.
I don't agree with anybody, though, so it's really not.
That's fair. Jeff, what do you got at 9?
My number 9 is Sunset Overdrive because it was a new IP. It was colorful. It had cool traversal, and nobody cared.
I still look at that game every once in a while. Like, I really should play that. I still haven't, but I really should.
You should. I wish more people would. It's a ton of fun. I played it with I think I may have played it a little bit before you, Jeff. It's an Insomniac game. Right before they ended up getting bought by Sony and now make Spider-Man games for them.
And I mean, you could kind of see the basis of Spider-Man and how they handled that game.
Yeah, they took a lot of their the inspiration that they have from Ratchet with the grinding and weapons from there and transferred all of that to Sunset Overdrive and then to Spider-Man.
And I will say, it will come up again. It's on my list. I think I explained this a couple of weeks ago. I had my nephew over and he was going through it, and it just reminded me of how fun and great that game is, especially when you compare it to the rest of Microsoft's output for this generation.
I have an idea for next year for the show that maybe we could get Tony to play this game.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we play through Rise.
We make each other play video games.
We could do that as well. But Rise isn't that bad. Rise is fine.
That could be a fun feature. Tony plays game he hates.
My number 9 is a game near and dear to Tony's heart, Apex Legends.
No. Oh, hey.
What? Sorry.
I will say now, Fortnite didn't make any of my lists. It is super influential. Apex Legends is an excellent shooter. I think it is the best of the Battle Royale games in the way they balance and introduce new characters. And those characters have, they all have specials attached to them. So it's a hero shooter, Battle Royale mix. It's wonderfully done. And they've kept it fresh for, the 2 years going. I think it runs great on like a base Xbox. It runs even better now on the new systems. But
yes.
It's a ton of fun.
It was going to be on my list, but I fell off of and sorry, Terry, but I'm sure we all went through. There are, especially in 2020, I feel like there are games that are very synonymous with, like, I just put a lot of time into it. Like, I wanted to put Fortnite on my list, but I'm like, is Fortnite a game I would have loved if I was not stuck home for the last 9 months? And I really enjoyed my time with Apex, but I fell off of it, and I'm like, it's hard for me to justify a multiplayer game if I'm not still kind of into it.
Yep. And so, like, what pulls me back into both Apex and Fortnite are the Battle Pass. Like, if the Battle Pass is interesting and it has, like, cool things to go for, that'll pull me back in. And Apex does that not all the time for me. Like, I'm not playing currently, but I played a little bit last season with Tony and Walt. And, mm-hmm. Fortnite has my attention right now, but... you put Star Wars shit in anything, and I'll chase after it.
And I mean, it's why I put in way too much time with Fortnite last season. I will say Fortnite isn't on any of my list, but I did create a separate list that I want to talk to in episode 3.
Yeah, you have an honorable mentions list. I am down with that. I have a bunch of honorable mentions too. Tony, what do you got at 9?
I have Monster Hunter World.
God damn.
So this was my first Monster Hunter game. It was easier than I expected. I think Capcom did a really good job of making it accessible to newcomers. And I just remember it being a phenomenon when it came out. Like, this franchise that I had never really paid attention to at all, and everybody was playing it, and everybody was talking about it, and helping each other. Like, it was, you don't normally get that whole thing, like, come into my game so that I can help you just kill this monster that you need to kill. And like, the camaraderie that comes out of that is all really cool. And even the camaraderie with strangers, like, you're facing off with this monster, you set up a flare, and some person from like Japan or whatever comes in and it helps you kill the monster. It's pretty awesome. And the monsters themselves are all unique and interesting. And I know my kids play this game obsessively. They're still playing it. I have no idea why, but if you look at my Xbox account, it's probably got like 500 hours into this game right now.
Hunting dinosaurs is fun.
Yeah, exactly. You're fighting giant dinosaur. Who wouldn't want that in a game? So,
and I want to love Monster Hunter so much, but I think I've explained before, I hate how the online is done in that game. Like, you mentioned when it works well with strangers, but when you're actually trying to play with your friends, it is like the worst setup ever. I don't know if they fix it in future patches or anything like that. I just remember it being an utter pain in the ass.
Well, I know at launch it was broken, like utterly broken. It does not seem to be quite as broken now, but I don't play it anymore, so I can't really speak to it.
We ran into that weird thing where if we were trying to advance the story, if one of us hadn't
right. Yeah,
like, they fixed that issue.
Yeah.
Oh, did they? Okay. Yeah. That was my big issue, was like, I want to play it with my friends. I don't want to have, like, okay, somebody has to run ahead, they have to go through this cutscene, they have to figure out what the cutscene is, and then they're able to shoot up a fear and we can join them afterwards. I'm like, if we're in a hub together, just make us all go on the adventure together.
Oh, and I talked about Gears, the post-launch content. For this game, it was awesome. It was all free, except for there was the Iceborne expansion, which was basically a whole new game. But but they added so many new monsters and new quests when it was over. They added the whole Witcher expansion for free. They just had a new set of quests launch in relation to the new Monster Hunter movie. Again, free. So that is
Monster Hunter movie. So
yeah, I mean that movie is apparently terrible.
And offensive to the Chinese.
Yes, but there's two new quests that you get with a new character to play as. It's awesome how they've supported that game since it came out.
Yep, I in agreement with you, Tony. Like I did not understand Monster Hunter until Monster Hunter World. Like I tried to play it with Jeff and Fozzie before, and I was like, I don't get this game. Like, gotta like stop in the middle of a battle and sharpen my sword, and like I don't understand any of the, like, I don't understand the ingredients that I'm getting. What is going on? It was so obtuse, and they definitely, like, they've made it way more user friendly this time around. It's still weird, but
yeah,
like way more easy to get into.
I thought it was super complicated. Then my 7-year-old's playing it now, so it can't be that complicated,
right?
This is another one I'm like happy that someone put on their list because I just kind of forgot about, and I sunk a ton of time into this one, and it's like the first one I beat. So yeah, this is a great choice.
Earl, what do you got at 8?
At 8, Life is Strange, and so is this pick. But yeah, I mean, it's a Telltale game done well. The engine doesn't buck on its own weight. The story's interesting. Your choices do seem to have some effect on the story, even if minor. I just kind of liked it for being a narrative-based game that actually told a compelling story about, at the time, different types of protagonists for video games that wasn't very action-oriented. That told a very basic coming-of-age story, but it told it really effectively.
Yeah. I liked Life is Strange quite a bit. It took that Telltale formula and modified it in a good way, I thought. Jeff, Tony, do you guys play Life is Strange?
Yeah, I don't love those types of games anymore, but that was like a really good story. I still remember like the big twist at the end of episode 3. Like, oh my god, that was awesome. So yeah, I like that game.
I think the biggest change of this generation is we came into this generation where Jeff was like, love these episodic narrative games. Story is king. And now today, Jeff is out there going, games and stories suck. I don't pay attention to them anymore.
I mean, it's always been true that I don't pay attention to stories and games. Like that was true, you know, 20 years ago. But like, there was a brief period when I thought like, oh, Telltale has changed all that, and this is what I want. And it just turns out like, no, I just want to play games.
You just want to kill monsters.
I don't really care.
I think when there's an element of you kind of engaging with the actual story, I think it does it better than, I think you get more control of your character in your world than you do necessarily doing a Telltale one. And like, I wanted to put Batman, but that engine key cannot afford Batman.
No.
So it's like saying Cyberpunk on your PS4, just to get that in there. So.
We will have commentary on Cyberpunk at some point early next year, I think. Jeff, what do you got at 8?
I got at number 8, I got Hitman.
Ooh.
Really cool reboot of this series, kind of. And just kind of the best damn murder simulator out there. I just love coming up with a million different ways to kill a target, you know.
I like murder.
Yeah. Murder's good.
I like watching Tony murder things. I am really bad at Hitman, though.
There's no bad. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. You
need to get in touch with your inner sociopath, Chris. That's the problem.
You need to think about, like, yeah.
Exactly. How would Tony
if I were Jeffrey Dahmer, what would I do here? That's your mindset.
It's so much fun. I had to include it somewhere on one of these lists.
Nice. My number 8 is a game from this year, actually. Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Hell yeah, buddy.
It's, yeah, excellent 2D, I guess. It is a 2D Metroid-type game. Beautiful art style, excellent gameplay. I love the new additions they made to everything there. The final boss was kind of a bitch, but I made it through that, and that game's a good, fun time.
I think I made it to the final area. That's about as far as I got. We'll be talking more about that game.
All right. Tony, what do you got at 8?
Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I think this was one of the best of that style of game that came out this generation. I mean, you got to love... all three of the Tomb Raider games are all very good, but I think this is the best one of the three. I think it really harkens back to like what Tomb Raider is about, which is like going into tombs and exploring and finding stuff. I think the open world was really well done. You could go around and do a whole lot of stuff. There were a lot of like story elements to it too. You could like interact with other people and kind of like build out what was going on, and in addition to the main narrative. And the game was just fun to play. Like, I loved like watching Lara Croft fly around and solve puzzles, and really, really great game.
Yeah, I really like Shadow of the Tomb Raider. It's a step above Uncharted for me, just because of the handling. I think the control-wise and encounter-wise, it's just so much better designed.
Yes, yes, the fighting is just so much better play. It's not just like throwing guys at you from every angle. It's like it's well thought out, well done.
Yeah, and they're not just all bullet sponges, and it's good.
And
it's a good time.
More, you know, more puzzle rooms and stuff too. Yeah. I think, right, like than Uncharted.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, I've always kind of preferred Tomb Raider over it. But I think I would go, me personally, I'd go with the original, like, reboot Tomb Raider as my favorite one, but that wouldn't count for this.
No, that came out on the 360.
It came out too early.
I'm probably with you on that too, Jeff, but Shadow of the Tomb Raider, I think, is right up there.
Yeah, I think it's probably my second. Yeah.
More diverse locations, too. Like, like that first one was only on that one island, and this moves
second
around
one was
bit.
Like. Second one was, like, all in the snow or some shit, wasn't it? Like,
yeah.
That's how I remember it, yeah.
It was also more combat-based. There wasn't as much, like, exploration and, like...
Yeah, like, Shadow, yeah, agreed.
It gets back to that, like, Indiana Jones-type formula. Like, we're going to go to this section and find this artifact and then move on to this one. And it had that globe-trotting aspect to it.
Yeah, and the stakes were super high, too, which I think kind of, you know, made you get through the game a bit more.
Yeah. Earl, what do you got at number 7?
Number 7. Going back to the digital front for a bit, I am taking out my shovel for SteamWorld Dig 2.
Ooh.
Hey.
You just like games about shoveling things, don't you?
I do. It's a very underutilized weapon in video games, to be honest with you. Because it has purpose too. And
I have a game about using a shovel as a weapon on my list too. We'll come to that later though.
But yes, you can use it as a weapon, but you also use it to navigate the world, to create paths. It's a bit of Dig Dug meet Metroid. And like, first one, it's just a ton of fun. I like the way that they tied it, the story into the first one and how it ended. And it just creates a fun world, a ton of interesting enemies. I like the the middle random systems that go into play. So you have like your water levels, so you can only dig so much, like levels. And, you know, so it has elements of, like, cave digging. Like, you can't get too deep without oxygen or light sources or something like that. And then you have those pockets. So it explains why you can't go too far early on in the game. And as you get more and more powers up, you know, you get your how far you can dig. You get to create light sources. You get to use your shovel. So I think it's just a great vision of, you know, it's a fun take on the Metroidvania. And I think in a generation or two that Metroidvanias have really dominated the digital storefront, it'd be odd not to have one.
Yeah, I like this game a lot. I played it on the Switch, I think, but yeah, really good game.
I've started it. I really like the first one. I assume that this is more.
This is better.
This is better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I have it on the Switch, so I should get.
And I really dig the dig the dig games. I don't necessarily care for heist or. I forget the cards of Gilgamesh. Mm-hmm. So,
Jeff, what do you got at 7?
Number seven, I got Gears 5, which might surprise you guys a little bit. I'm not like a super fan of this series. but, you know, not being a big fan of the series, I do think this is one of the better ones. I had a good time with the campaign for the most part. And for what little I did play of the multiplayer, like I did play with you guys a little bit and with my one buddy a little bit. I don't know. I thought the multiplayer was fun. I even played a little bit of just like the, you know, deathmatch type stuff on my own. And that was also good. So I don't know. Giving it to one of the exclusives here at number seven.
Nice.
It is weird to think of like playing Gears multiplayer by yourself though. I mean, yeah, it's just an utterly fantastic game with friends. Whether it's multiplayer, Horde, what is the other one called?
Escape.
Oh, not as much.
Escape. That mode is fun.
With Escape, you actually probably need a full set of three. Yes. We've tried playing with randos, and
they are stupid.
Either people,
they
yeah,
cannot
people
escape.
Just, either that, or people who just run off and do their own thing before you even get a chance to look around.
Yeah, and I think some of that is tied to the fact that Escape has a timed leaderboard. So for like people get into it and their objective isn't to like get through with a team, it is to clear it as quickly as possible, even if that means leaving you behind. And it's shitty. It doesn't encourage teamwork.
Yeah, and then you can't really beat it without your teammates unless they all die, which I guess is probably the point. Because yeah, like let's say your teammate gets grabbed, it's pretty much game over if you don't have other people there, because those enemies will grab you and take you to their weird off shack to do bad things to you.
I don't know if it shows up on Earl's list, but we will be talking more about Gears. That one in particular, so.
We will be talking about Gears. I don't necessarily know if it's that one.
Okay. My number seven is this is certainly going to be out of left field, I think people are going to think. But if you've listened to the show and know my love of rhythm games.
Oh, God.
Guitar Hero Live. it's an excellent revitalization of the Guitar Hero formula. I love the actual, which they've now shut down. You can't actually use the live. So there was a live TV functionality portion where there were just channels where you could go in and play songs that would just randomly kind of come up. They had a diverse lineup on it. The new guitar was great. The way the way they changed the functionality of the frets, it actually was more like playing a real guitar. It's a good time, and I still play it, you know, here and there occasionally. So it's also still great for parties. People still love to play Guitar Hero and Rock Band. Not that we can have parties in 2020, but
I forgot what was different about the guitar. That tells you how much
It wasn't
like three buttons.
Yeah, it was three buttons, black and white, up and down. So like you would play. The different frets that way instead of having the five across.
Two rows of three.
On the guitar, yes, two rows of three, and then on the highway that comes down, it was three rows. But then you would play the corresponding keys, black or white, up or down, depending upon how they showed up, or a combination of them too. So sometimes it was two top keys, one bottom key, or you know, different combinations. So you're actually utilizing your hand in a more consistent with an actual guitar.
I remember that was kind of neat, but I just never got into that game because I thought the soundtrack sucked ass.
You had to play the live TV portion. The soundtrack was great over there.
And it's like, so I got like way more into Rock Band 4, actually. Yep. Was it 4?
Yep, 4.
Yeah, bought tons of music for that. They had so many great songs you could buy, so much music you could buy on that game.
And what was great about Rock Band 4, it was basically just Rock Band, right? It was just Rock Band pulled over. But the fact that you could pull over like music that you bought from Rock Band 1, Like if you had bought DLC for Rock Band 1, you could pull that into Rock Band 4, which was really cool about that. So, Tony, what do you got at number 7?
I got my murder simulator, Hitman 2. I actually prefer this game to the original, which kind of threw me off the episodic releases. I also kind of take that original in with it because when they remastered, they took the engine behind Hitman 2 and remastered both games. So Hitman kind of became a part of Hitman 2. But I love this game. I love like messing with the people and like shooting them off into the air and finding, you know, cool ways to kill them and, you know, make them drown in their own vomit and that kind of thing. It's you know, it's fun.
Yeah, the usual things that don't make you sound like a psychopath.
No, obviously not. I am a good person who would never do these kind of things in real life, ever. Mr. Officer, please.
I'm happy for the Hitman representation here. I think this might be our first kind of duplicate. I mean, I chose the first one, but I would gladly agree with what you're saying.
They're so close together. Yeah.
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 Yeah, Hitman, hell yeah.
I'm super excited for the third one. I can't wait. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Early next year, right?
That's right.
Earl, what do you have at number 6?
Number 6. I'm just going to continue proving the point that I spent almost my generation in the digital storefront. I went with Celeste.
Ooh.
Which is a phenomenal puzzle platformer. An amazing story. Just a really cute game that I think anybody should say. I mean, yes, it has its reputation for being tough, but I think it is. It's worth checking out, and one of my favorite games of this generation.
Great accessibility on that too. Like I played it on the default settings, which are tough. Like that game is a tough game, but you can set that game up, and so like you can get infinite jumps and infinite powers basically to kind of like maneuver your way through if you're having a hard time, and it's easily set up that way. Yeah, as you said, great story, which you don't really go into a 2D platformer expecting.
No.
A ton of fun. Jeff, what do you got at number 6?
At number 6, I have Doom. First-person shooter that dares to be different than all the other first-person shooters and like kind of pays homage to the birth of the genre at the same time. It just got its own style, man. It's like super fast, aggressive. You have to be in the face of all these fucking enemies, just killing them. And just kind of like that whole metal vibe of it is awesome.
Yeah, I liked Doom when it came out. I did not love it, but going back to it this year and then playing Doom Eternal right after it really made me appreciate how great that reboot of Doom is. Like it kind of just gets everything right.
I liked what I played of Doom Eternal, and I liked that added like platforming stuff, but I didn't beat the game, and I've heard, you know,
it just gets really frustrating this one
Doom is doesn't. Like pure, it's the Doom 2016 is like pure uncut straightforward, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's just, let's bring this style of game back, and they did a hell of a job.
My number 6 is Destiny. Not Destiny 2, which is probably where people are going to, why not Destiny 2?
I'm going to ask exactly that.
I just played way more of Destiny 1, like a ton more of Destiny 1. I actually enjoyed the Crucible there a ton more. There are issues with Destiny 1 for certain. The tower sucks. Like, there's nothing to do
there.
Yes,
the tower sucks. God damn, does it suck.
But the missions, the raids, I thought were kind of perfect. I just really liked playing in that world. I played a bunch of that with our friend Don. And we would just go in and play, do the strikes over and over again each week and team up with other people we knew. And then playing Crucible was kind of like what you wanted to see out of Bungie at the time. I did not necessarily like the changes they made for Destiny 2 to Crucible. I think the story is way better there. And they've obviously continued to expand on that over and over again since Destiny 2 came out. But I put way more time into the original Destiny. And that's why it kind of slots in there for me. Tony, number six.
Number six. I have Battlefield 1, a game where you kill people with the shovel.
Yes, you're welcome,
Earl.
not the shovel I had in mind, but sure.
Sure. I think it did a lot for the shooter genre. I really like the squad-based mechanics. I really like the setting. There's not a whole lot of games that are set in World War One. So I think it really kind of gave you a whole lot of weapons to use that you would never use, like a lot of weird-looking tanks and odd sniper rifles, a lot of places to fight where you'd never been before, which was super cool. Although I think DICE kind of took the wrong lessons. So when they did the World War II version that came later, they kind of stuck everybody in parts of World War II where you'd never been before, and everybody lost interest in the game. But Battlefield 1 was awesome, like flying around in like biplanes and fighting on armored trains. And there was just so much to do in that game, and it was so, so good. Even the campaign was interesting. Where you would play through it not as a character, but as like a normal soldier, and you could die and then respawn. It was very interesting how they did all of that. So I really enjoyed that game. I hope for the next Battlefield game to be more like that.
Yeah, I enjoyed Battle. We played a lot of Battlefield 1 together.
So. Yeah, yes, we did.
it was a blast. Like just a great, great game. Excellent maps. The weapons were fun. Like different. Like they were just different. Like you go back to Battlefield 5, and that was a good game, but it's like, all right, we've kind of done this before, except these maps are boring.
Exactly.
All right, Earl, what do you got at number five?
I have the Knight. Batman Arkham Knight. Yes, it is not the best game in the Arkham franchise.
Yes, it's the worst of the three.
It's of the four. But the core of the game still remains pretty great. Like, the whole being Batman part is awesome. It's when you have to control the Batmobile that it becomes a mess. But the actual game still remains really good. And yes, the story is super obvious to anybody who's ever read anything in a comic book as to who the Arkham Knight is. But, you know, I will say I do enjoy the Red Hood story, and I think they did a decent job adapting. And I think, you know, I don't know why they had to give him a new identity. I really think they just shot themselves in the foot with having to keep this Arkham branding. Like, after Arkham City and Arkham Origins, it's like, none of this has to do with the Asylum, which is the name of a specific location. But that's besides the point. I think the game looks great. It still has some of the best action combat in gaming, I think. I think outside of, like, maybe the original God of War trilogy, well, God of War style, I think it's my favorite type of combat in video games. And very few companies can get that right. We've seen them try, and we'll go on the PlayStation side later on. As much as I enjoy another superhero, even that combat doesn't compare to what's in the Arkham games. And I think, you know, just that and some of the segments with... Again, like the big hang up for a lot of people, I think, is the Batmobile. I think the actual rest of the game, which is like 85% of the game, is still great.
I liked it. It wouldn't be on a 10 list for me, but I didn't hate it like a lot of people did.
It's not bad.
Apparently, Tony.
Yeah.
I think I agree with Tony. It's the weakest of the.
It is. I don't disagree with that. Still, but game. it's like saying you have a 10, a 9.5, and like an 8.5. Like, yes, it's not. It's kind of like the Dark Knight
Rises. It's like being Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like it's still Andromeda. A good game on its own. It's the fact that it has to follow up on something that's fantastic, that it's like The Dark Knight Rises. A lot of people dislike that movie because it's not as strong as Batman Begins or The Dark Knight.
Right.
But on its own, I think it's still a really good movie.
I rewatched that movie this past summer, and it's not bad. I did not like it when I first saw it, but now I enjoyed it.
The third Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it this summer too, and I like appreciated it way more than I did the first time.
Not to derail us here, but I saw a tweet over the last week about the Gotham Knights, which is the football team. You know, Bane breaks it. Like I think it's been proven that the NFL would still have
the game
continue even after Bane. Which is pretty accurate. Jeff, what do you got at number five?
Number five, kind of a cheat once again, because it's a collection, and you're probably not going to be surprised now. It's Halo Master Chief Collection.
I don't think that's a cheat.
Yeah, I mean, it is old games, but it's cool to have them all in one space, and
didn't they remaster most of those games? Like
they did, like you know,
remastered 2 and brought over the remaster 1 from the 360.
So you know, 2 technically, you know, it's got new graphics and stuff, right? So, and you know, I just kind of go with it over Halo 5 because I think Halo 5's campaign sucked, and I don't know, it's just more and better. It's like the classic shit that you know and love. Takes up a lot of goddamn space and had some issues.
Does take up a lot of space.
I had some issues too. Like, it's taken a while to get it to a point now where it's what it always should have been. And even like, just in the last year, they added Reach, right? Or yep. Might have been the last year.
It was this year, I believe. They added
Reach. So. And that's years after this collection came out. Like, I think the place where it's at now is where it should have been when they first released it. But, you know, where it's at now, I think it's definitely worthy of being on Xbox One top 10 list.
Yep. We're going to talk about that again, I believe.
I do want to hop on here because it was a game that I wanted to include. But one of the things I tried to stick to was to kind of do stuff that was exclusive to this generation. And a compilation just felt weird to include, even though it's a fantastic package. It's kind of like the orange box from Last Gen, but I think it's probably one of the finest collections or one of the finest games. But it's hard to say like, it's a 360 PS3 title since it's a collection of older games with
That one had Portal at least making it.
Yeah, and it had the orange box, which is new at the time. Team Fortress 2, I should say.
This did have Halo 2. The remaster version of it, which had new cutscenes and.
But it's still a like, yeah.
Hey, better than Halo 5. Just saying.
But no, I mean, it's a fantastic package, and yeah, the fact that they like, I wish more companies did that. Like, you know, like the original Halo is almost 20 years old. It's 20 years old next year. Is that like yes? Like, you know, at some point, it's nice to just have like here's the entire series. If you want to get caught up, and it's for quote unquote free, you do pay for Game Pass. But
yeah, as I said, we will be talking more about that collection shortly. my number five is Control, last year's game from Remedy. I know you guys were not as high on it as I was. I love it. I think like it has that X-Files kind of vibe to it. I enjoyed the way the game played. Like I really, you know, was able to master kind of the controls and being able to fly her around and use her special powers to blow people up and headshot them with ripping stuff off of walls. And I had a ton of fun with it. I know you guys don't love it quite as much, but it's okay.
It grew on me. I hated it at first. Like, I really disliked it. By the end, I was like, it's pretty good. I just don't like it as much as everybody else.
It's fine. It evidently did okay. Like, I remember early last year, people were like, oh, it's not doing great. But Remedy announced recently that it did sell over 2 million copies. So, good on them. Tony, what do you got at number 5?
I have Apex Legends. Probably not all that surprising that this is on my list. I did not touch this game at launch, but of course, I'm looking to play things during the pandemic. I finally got into it, and wow, this game is fantastic. I think the shooting is as good as any game I've ever played. I think it's the best of the Battle Royale games. I think that each one of the characters has like their own unique play style, which means that if you're playing as one character and then you switch, it's basically like playing a different game. And I think they put a lot of post-launch support into it. There's 3 maps now, as opposed to just the one that they started with.
Well, they added a third.
Yeah, the new map is actually really cool. You're on a it's like a floating city.
Nice.
Yeah. There are actually holes in the map. You can fall to your death, so don't be careful. and now there are parts of the map that like move while you're playing at it. So you'll be fighting on like this little like tower that's spinning around while you're fighting. It's really cool. And there are vehicles now too. You can like move around and get from one end of the map to the other on these little car things. It's awesome. So things have changed quite a bit. They've added new weapons, new legends, and all the legends are fun in their own way. So it's awesome game, and I played so much of it during quarantine. So you guys should play it too.
Yeah,
play with me.
The one thing I will add, and I think it's one of the understated features. I think I talked about this when it first came out. It's the smart targeting system, the ability to ping stuff for your friends, and the game tell you what it is. Has been, like, to me, that is like the active reload of this generation. It is just such a smart feature that I'm surprised it took this long for a game to implement. Because like, Fortnite has it now. A lot of games have implemented it now. And it's just like, why wasn't this thought of before?
Right? It makes so much sense. Like, they're shooting at me. They're shooting at me, Tony. Okay, can you ping them?
Yeah, hey, right over there.
And there they are. Okay, now we all focus on the same guys. It's great. It's an awesome feature. I can't believe nobody thought of that before.
And one of the cool things about that, the ping feature too, is that Apex has a down but not out system, so you can get knocked down but be revived before you're ultimately dead. And while you're down, you can still be active and like ping enemies and still kind of like help out, so you're not a complete useless
waste. Just mostly you can also like open doors and stuff, but you're pretty
and crawl, but
crawl sometimes you can use yourself as a human shield. I've tried to do that. It never ends up working out.
Earl, what do you have at number 4?
Number 4 is my game of the year from last year, Shade of Spire. Which I think, we've talked about Hades last week, we talked about other roguelike games, but it still remains one that I think has, that I have connected with the most. I think it's very simple loop, it's card-based combat, it's 3 main characters, and they're distinct but very similar play styles. Really was just the perfect storm of combinations for me, that just made a ultra-compelling game that I want to return to. It's a great game to, if I want to go half an hour, if I want to kill 2 hours or more sometimes. It's just top-notch experience.
Nice. Jeff?
My number 4 is Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Already discussed this a little bit. Great Metroid style game that is kind of doing its own thing. Like, it has its own personality for sure. And one thing, like, I guess I would like to highlight about it this time is that so many like 2D games nowadays either go for like that 8-bit look or like that kind of like flash animation art style. And this one actually dares to like have production values and look fucking really good.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like it would be like, if it were 3D, it would look like any other AAA game, but it's a 2D game. Like, very few 2D games do that, I think. It's beautiful. So, I don't know. I think this is a really great game. I like the sequel a little more than the first one, so that's why I went with it. Ori, baby.
Yep, I'm with you on that, Jeff. Great choice there. My number 4 is Jeff's number 5, Halo the Master Chief Collection. kind of like waffled between this and Halo 5 and ultimately went with the game that has six games in it than the one that has one. I liked Halo 5 quite a bit. I think, as Jeff said, like the campaign just is not great. I think it's fine. Unlike Jeff said, it was bad.
I don't think it's bad. It's not good. But yeah.
And I honestly think the multiplayer in Halo 5 is fantastic. It is maybe the best playing Halo multiplayer ever, but Master Chief Collection has so much going on. You know, not just the six campaigns, it has multiple playlists that can take different levels from. So there are playlists where it's like you can take Warthog levels from each of the different games and play them. And there are, you know, there are playlists for the multiplayer. There's now a season pass implemented in it, and that season pass doesn't expire, so you can still earn credits to buy the stuff that was on the previous season pass. Even though it's now on season four, you can still go back and kind of like earn stuff for, you know, season the previous three seasons. If that's where you wanted to like get your cosmetics from, there's like such a level of customization now going on. It's great. There's just so much going on in that game. As Jeff said, it's kind of where they promised it when it launched, and it launched in a shitty condition, where it was actually unplayable for a couple months. But it is now maybe like the best value in gaming for if you are a Halo fan.
Still pretty active too. The last time I played,
You can always get a match. It's like
great.
And it has firefight, both versions of firefight. So it has ODST,
a good
firefight,
one and a bad one.
and reach firefight. It has the Halo 4 co-op. Spartan Ops has that in it. Like everything that you want for Halo is in here. I hope they continue to expand on it. And like as you know, whenever Halo Infinite comes out, that they eventually toss Halo 5 in there, because I think just having all Halo in one spot would be great. Also, do this for Gears. Like, give me a Gears Phoenix collection with all the Gears. You can have all the different you know, different horde modes. Bring back this stuff from Gears 3 and Gears Judgment that is missing. Do it, Microsoft. Tony, what do you got it for?
I have Watch Dogs 2.
Okay.
I think this game kind of went under the radar, even though it was one of the best open world games I have ever played. Great storyline, great depiction of San Francisco, awesome missions, and just like the whole world hacking and so much to do. When you could mess around with the cameras and make people's cars run them over, and I just love the whole mechanics of that whole Watch Dogs thing. I honestly think it's probably better than the Watch Dogs game that just came out, which is kind of soulless because it doesn't have a main character. This game is much more directed and much more interesting, and follows that storyline along in a much better way. So yeah, that and it's a game that I am surprised so many people haven't played because it is so good.
Doesn't have the iconic Adam Pearce hat.
I know. He's in it though. He's in it briefly. You're like, oh, it's that crappy character from
that guy with the trench coat and the hat.
Yeah, that's all he is. He's a trench coat and a hat.
And if you haven't played it, although it sold incredibly well. If you haven't played it, it is on sale like every 2 weeks on Xbox Live, along with every other Ubisoft game ever made. So
please, for the love of God, play this game. It's really good.
Earl, what do you have at number three?
Number three. So like I said, I tried to kind of stick to excuses for at least the top three, because there'd be a lot of crossover between the two, yes. But I do have... Okay, I originally had Gears 4, but I think I'm going to switch it to Gears 5. I think...
Okay.
The reason I had Gears 4, and I think I've joked about this on the show before, is I started Gears 5 several times with friends, and I've never made it all the way through the campaign.
That said,
the fact that I've played the campaign three or four times now and still kind of have fun with the opening two or three hours is, you know, a tell. But it's really, I mean, as much as I enjoy Gears campaign, Gears campaign is like 5 hours, you call it a day. It's always been about the multiplayer. And I think Horde has been one of the best multiplayer creations of the past. I mean, honestly, in all of gaming, the idea of you and your friends against this countless wave of enemies is just a fantastic idea. And I think this game does it so well. And honestly speaking, I'm going to give it brownie points just because it's Gears of War. It's a game that somehow takes itself so seriously, but also doesn't at the same time. And the fact that, like, yeah, we're going to have the Terminator, we're going to have Sarah Connor, we're going to have the New Day. Why not? We have Dave Bautista in here. You know what? Have fun. Do whatever the hell you want. Because at the end of the day, you are just a guy wielding a chainsaw answer to cut up enemies. We're just going to have a ball with it. And it is absolutely fantastic. And I will also say, because I thought it was dumb that the campaign third player co-op is Jack. And then one of my friends started to play Jack, and he's just like an OP Jack who just mows through the enemies while the rest of us are just sitting back waiting for Jack to finish his job. So the fact that they somehow balanced that to be an interesting third player in a co-op game is also kudos to them for that.
Yeah. We are not done talking about Gears 5, so I will hold my say. Jeff, what do you got at number 3?
At number 3, I have The Outer Worlds. I don't know. It turns out sometimes story does matter in games, and this is a great example of it. I think this is just like a great Fallout-style game, and I think Obsidian does a better job at these types of games than the people that do the proper. Like, this game is like so much better than Fallout 4. It told interesting stories, had characters I cared about.
It's not drawn out either. Like, Fallout 4 just drags. Like,
I would have been fine with Outer Worlds being a little longer, to be honest.
But, a little bit, yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, it's you know, it's not the longest RPG, but there is a lot of care put into what is there, and a lot of like interesting variety kind of in what you could do, I think. And like, again, I kind of cared about my sidekicks and stuff like that. And I found like some of the mini stories in there fun, and like kind of like the bigger themes about like kind of class warfare type stuff. And like the writing in those games, that one especially, it's just like, you could see both sides of an issue. Like they would write both decisions really well. So it was like, fuck, I don't know. Like, this guy's got a point, but, like, I kind of want to help these people. You know what I mean? Like, it was really good at smartly dealing with issues and not just making the choices simple for you.
Yeah, it wasn't like this is a, you know, a good or evil decision. It's like,
yeah, hey,
both of these are going to have bad consequences, but you have to see which one, like, is...
And you could, like, see the justification in what every character was trying to do. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's... I just think it's really cool. Like, I'd like to see a sequel to it, to be honest.
Did you play the expansion?
No. I remember, I don't think anyone got it.
No.
I was asking around to you guys about it. I don't know how much it is. it feels weird to buy an expansion to a game I don't own either. Like,
oh, that is strange, yes.
But yeah, I'd be interested. It'd be interesting, like, maybe get that expansion and just kind of play through it all again with the expansion.
Nice. My number 3 is Titanfall, not Titanfall 2, which does have a phenomenal campaign.
We'll be hearing about Titanfall 2.
That's fair. Will we? I mean, it was a tough call for me, because both games are great. But I love the multiplayer in Titanfall 1. I don't think it's quite as good in Titanfall 2, and I played a ton of Titanfall 1. I think the maps are better. I think the Titans, the dropping them and having, you know, being able to be in that mech was just better than it is in Titanfall 2, despite the variety that Titanfall 2 has. And yeah, it's you could see like all that is pushed over into Apex Legends without the Titans, but the movement, everything is just so kind of perfect in that game. The one thing I wish is that it had a actual decent campaign, because the campaign is tied to like playing it kind of in multiplayer.
And I introduced you to Titanfall 2.
You can, but like, what I want is the Titanfall 2 campaign with the Titanfall 1 multiplayer. Tony, what do you have at number 3?
Number 3, I have Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
All right.
Which I think has has the best world in any Assassin's Creed game. The depiction of ancient Greece is awesome. It's super colorful. Every place looks different. Everything you would expect to find in ancient Greece is there. Every island is completely depicted with all kinds of awesome stuff. It's just a spectacle to like sail around the Aegean and see everything that's there. There's obviously an awesome campaign. I love playing as the female main character. It was so much fun to get through that campaign. I think I said on a previous podcast, though, she's a little...
she's horny.
Horny, yes. She does, in fact, fuck her way across Greece. But that's fine. I'm cool with that. It's all on her own terms. Combat is great. Like, that game is awesome in almost every respect. I can wholeheartedly recommend Assassin's Creed Odyssey to anybody. I think it pulled a lot of people back to Assassin's Creed who'd like fallen off because all the games were kind of samey, and this really offered a newer experience. And there were so much to do there. The massive battles that you would fight to take over territories, so cool to just wade through like a bloody field of people and like hacking away at other people. It was just really cool experience.
If you had told me 5 years ago that I would love this series, I never would have believed you in a million years. But here we are.
No, 5 years ago you told us you hated this series, and it sucked.
And you know, to be fair, like, I don't love the whole series. I like what it's become. I really love what it's become. And did it start with Odyssey, like that kind of new
Origins was that one? Yeah.
Okay. I think Tony got the wrong one here, but I can't argue with it. It's a great game too. You know what I mean?
I think I would consider the Valhalla to like the way I'm playing it is not on the Xbox. It's on the Series X. Yeah. So.
Yeah. We're gonna be talking Valhalla. Don't worry. Maybe not this episode. But.
Fair enough, Earl. What do you have at number 2?
I have at number 2 Sunset Overdrive. I'm a very simple man. I like big, colorful worlds. I like a game with a sense of movement. I like a game that has a sense of identity. And I think all of Microsoft's exclusives this generation, I don't think anything had a sense of identity like Sunset Overdrive. Sometimes it's a bit too big and over the top, but it's cartoony, it's fun, it's zany. I have the fact that your main weapon is you shooting records, that you can get explosive teddy bears. The creativity, like you said, they come from Ratchet and Clank where they are accustomed to making all these zany and over the top and stupid weapons, and it throw that in an open. It makes for a fantastic package that just remains a blast to play. What, 7 years later?
Yep, it's a ton of fun, and the one boss fight I really remember from that is the dragon that kind of your that chases you and you're grinding on top of the power cables. I think that might be one of the best boss fights in this generation. Jeff, what do you have at number 2?
At number 2, I have Forza Horizon 3. So funny because this series started off as like the spin-off series of the main Forza games, right?
It did. Yeah.
It feels like this spin-off series Horizon has kind of taken over the franchise, because it turns out people like games that are fun to play.
Who knew? Who knew?
And I just think that, you know, Forza Horizon, like the series, is like the best exclusive that Xbox has had this generation. I think it's the best racing game of the generation. It's just, you know, some of the best graphics you're ever going to see. Really love the barn finds, like finding old classic cars like hidden in the map. I'm going with 3 over 4 as kind of a preference thing. And it was, it felt like that's when the series kind of like really emerged, was part 3. And also for the Lego expansion. Or not Lego, I'm sorry, the
it's a Hot Wheels
expansion. I just think that's a neat, it's such a weird juxtaposition against like this, you know, even Horizon, that's more arcadey. It's very like realist, you know, it's real cars and you know, super realistic detail on everything. And here's some fucking loop-de-loops
that built a life-size Hot Wheels track.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool little island off to the side there. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure at least Chris here agrees with me on this, that Horizon's pretty great.
Yeah, we'll be talking about Horizon again shortly. but not right now, because right now we're going to talk about Gears 5 again for the fourth time. I think it's the best Gears on Xbox One, and there have been there 3 of them, because they remastered 1, 4, and now 5. It's the best multiplayer package. I actually think the campaign is probably a little bit better in 4, but this just, you know, has the 3-player co-op availability to it, whereas you know, 4 only, you can only pick 2 players. This has a more robust horde mode. It adds escape, which you should play with friends. You know, it's multiplayer options are, it's competitive multiplayer options are super in-depth. And it offers, like, the ability to play against bots, too. Like, you can play with a team of 4 or 5 against AI bots and up the difficulty there. And all of that counts towards your overall ranking. So, like, you're always leveling up. You're always earning new stuff. They've introduced a battle pass that is very well done, I think. They keep introducing new characters that are earnable in the game. Like Earl said, like, they just added the New Day from WWE. Terminator earlier from when it launched. It's a goofy ass game, but also like super serious in its own way, and it's a ton of fun. I still have it installed and continue to play it a lot. So, Tony, what do you have at number 2?
I have Titanfall, not Titanfall 2. Sorry, Earl. I'm sure you guys remember back to the Xbox One launch where there was nothing, absolutely nothing to play. And this was like the first real game that came out that felt next gen to me. It was awesome. Like dropping Titanfalls on people, fighting with giant robots is always a whole lot of fun. I also think the game had a better sense of verticality and like just the maps were open and more easily traversed than the maps in the second game, so I just felt more fun to play to me. This game was great though. It kind of saved the Xbox One. Like it was the reason to get it. There was not before this game any kind of, like, I was playing terrible games because it was
just rough. Both those systems launched with nothing.
Absolutely nothing. And this was also the last time I've ever felt like superior at a shooter. Like, I remember my KD in the game was like 2.5. That will never ever happen again because I'm old now.
Well, one of the things I thought was great about Titanfall 2 is like even if you're bad, you were always getting kills because of the AI on the boards. You were always contributing because killing those grunts contributed to your overall team score.
Yeah, you could literally go out and grunt hunting. Now, then somebody would probably fly along and kill you. Like, I'm sure I killed many people who were grunt hunting. Right. But no, so much fun. It was also awesome. Like, you'd get your Titan so it was blowing up, and then you'd have the nuclear core so that it would explode and kill everybody around you.
Yeah, and early on, that was so much fun because people, they were still learning how to play the game. Yep. So, like, if you had kind of figured that piece out, you could toss your exploding Titan in and just...
You're like, walking your Titan into the middle of three enemy yep. Titans, and they're, like, blowing the crap out of you, and you're like,
bye,
joke's
guys.
On you guys.
I'm out. And we had a good time with, I think it was called Frontier Defense, which they added later, which was their version of Horde mode.
Yeah.
That was a good time, too. Earl, what do you have at number one?
I have Titanfall 2. I kind of agree with you folks on the multiplayer, which is why Titanfall 2 did not have the longevity that it had with me. The original Titanfall did. I mean, literally, one of the reasons I bought my Xbox One was for Titanfall. If you know me, you know I have a thing for Giant Max. Power Rangers is one of my all-time favorite franchises. That said, Titanfall 2, to me, has one of the best first-person shooter campaigns I've ever played.
Agreed.
It's creative. It very much reminded me of the Super Mario Galaxy of first-person shooters, where it's like, we're going to give every level its own little gimmick. We're going to use it like once, and we're never going to see it again. Some of those I wish they had brought back, but the fact that they were like, yeah, we're just going to give you this really great campaign. I mean, I'm going to say great campaign, I don't remember the story of it, but like the one stage I assume everybody talks about, the one where you're hopping back and forth between time, mm-hmm. where you're doing that in midair so that you can get platformed and seeing how it decayed over time. Again, the Titans are, you know, the fact that you, like, again, it's fun to use it against other people, but actually being able to use it in combat and mission scenarios was also a great addition. The fact that they gave the Titans a different type of personality without one, I think if they had continued going straight with Titanfall 1's multiplayer, where I think Titanfall 2 multiplayer tried to be more Call of Duty than Titanfall, because Titanfall also has an amazing sense of movement. Probably one of the easiest first-person shooters, I think, to navigate via vertically, horizontally, jumping, running along walls, because a lot of shooters don't always have that sense of scale or movement and speed for the characters. And I think Titanfall nails it. Titanfall 2, I think it brings it all together in that single-player package for me.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great game. Jeff, what do you have at number one?
My number one is, surprise, 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 Dark Souls 3. I mean, I like Dark Souls, so.
Okay.
and I think Dark Souls 3 is my favorite one. I don't know. It was just because it's the newest one. But, I mean, there's points in it where I think it goes a little too far with the bosses. Like, some of the bosses are really hard, but fuck, just call someone in to do it for you while you hide in the corner like a little bitch, and you know, no problem then.
There's no steps to hide underneath and attack them from there, Jeff?
There's always ways to cheese a lot of the bosses in the games, too, if you, you know, like, I'm playing Bloodborne right now on PS4, but I don't have online on PS4 right now, so I just have to figure out ways to get it done myself, and there's ways. But yeah, Dark Souls 3, it's just kind of my favorite one. Like, I love all three of the Dark Souls games, even Part 2. Part 3 is just really cool. Like, levels and shit. And I don't know. I remember when it first came out, I played it 3 times in a row. I got a big, fat character who's, like, a total tank. So, like, right there, obviously, I loved it. Played it 3 times in a row. I think I've played it, like, 2 more times in a couple years since, so I always end up going back to it. Nice. And luckily, you can still get help from people. So, and not shocking anyone here that I have Dark Souls near the top or the top of my list. So,
question for you, as somebody who does not play Dark Souls and kind of sucks at them, can you call in your friends, or is it just a random person that you call in?
Question mark. Okay. I don't know. I think I've done it with other people before.
Jeff has done it with other people before.
It's kind of like if you're like trying it. There is a way. If you have I think you could set like a password or something like that, if I remember correctly, so that like it would be like when you're summoning, you would get your friend that way. I think that's how that works.
Got you. Okay.
I'll come in. I mean, the funny thing is like you say you're bad at these games. I'm fucking terrible. I'm not like good. Like, you know, it's just the games are not as hard as their reputations for one, and two. Like I said, if you can't do it, someone will fucking do it for you. It's not like that makes it easier than other games. I can't call someone in to do shit for me in fucking other games.
But do you want somebody else to do it for you?
Yes, I love it. I love standing in the corner and going, fight for my honor. Like, this motherfucker just goes in and destroys the boss for me that
you
I couldn't
do it, kill him.
Yeah.
Cheering him on from the side.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I hate to admit it. Like, I am that guy who, like, is basically doing, like, a sliver of damage to the boss on my own. Like, I'm basically running away and making sure not to get killed to fuck everything up, you know? I don't want to get one hit fucking killed by a boss and ruin everything.
Got it. all right, well, my number one is a third in a series two, but it is about cars. Forza Horizon 3.
Ooh, you went with 3-2. Awesome. Yeah,
as Jeff said, it's the best exclusive series, I think, on the Xbox this generation. Similar to Jeff, like 3 and 4 are very comparable. I think 4 is just a little overstuffed with shit. Like, there's too much shit to do. And the diversity of the Australian setting, where you have the desert and you have, you know, the beach setting and the city and the jungle. Like, there's way more biomes to explore in Forza Horizon 3 than there are in basically what amounts to Scotland and England in Forza Horizon 4. 4 has the weather, you know, the season changing effect, but doesn't really spice it up in the same way. Everything's kind of samey looking. It looks great, but doesn't have that variance. Yeah, and as you know, kind of also what Jeff said, like just exploring in that game is rewarding. Like, you know, there's barn finds, there are signs to go find and bust up and get experience for. There are certain landmarks to go and explore and find. And then there's a ton of races, there are these crazy jumps, there are tons of different stunts to do. And then, you know, you have Blizzard Mountain, which is the one expansion, the Hot Wheels expansion. It's just so much to do. The driving is great. You can set that game up so that anybody can play it. Like, you can give that game to a toddler and they can be successful at it because the assists are so robust. Or you can make it as difficult as you want if, you are somebody that really is into simulation type driving, where you can go in and modify the height of your spoiler, which will affect the wind resistance if you wanted to go that deep. Like, it's an insane level of detail to it. Ton of fun, great game.
I highly approve of your choice. I'm surprised you got it right, man. I'm surprised you put it over Halo and Gears, man. Forza Horizon is the best fucking Xbox One series, I think. Like,
yeah, this generation, I think it really is. It just gets it right.
And it's just, you know, I think that some of those other series, I mean, Gears kind of bounced back, but some of those other series, like, we're starting to feel stale a little bit, and Forza is like just hitting its stride with this gen.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with the rumor is Forza Horizon 5 this year, not Motorsport. Motorsport's a little bit farther off. So Forza Horizon 5 this year, we'll see if it can maintain that like upwards trajectory. But if it can't, like, hey,
if it can keep it as good as the last two,
I'll be fine with that.
And I don't know, like Earl and Tony, you guys are not like big racing game people. right? Am I wrong?
I am not.
What's racing?
Like, you don't like racing games at all, right, Tony? Like driving games?
I mean, they're fine. It doesn't appeal to me.
That's
fine.
I don't think
you should
give
it a shot. I mean, you guys can play these, you know.
They're free. They're on Game Pass, right?
Yeah. I thought 3 was delisted, or was that a different thing?
No. Maybe. No, 2 was two was delisted. I don't know if 3 was. But 4 is definitely out there, and it's the same high level quality. I just personally like the setting of 3 a little bit better. Tony, what do you have at your number one?
Mine is also the third entry in the franchise, shockingly enough. I'm a little surprised I haven't heard the name at all yet. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, which I think offers probably the most complete game world in any franchise I've ever played, where you can wander around and meet people and do whatever you want and really have a unique experience. I think the game has awesome DLC, awesome post-launch support, a really great storyline, fun combat, like great characters, and really just a level of depth in everything that other open world games don't tend to have. Even like the most minor side quest is fully developed in every way you could think of. So I really think it's the most outstanding game of the generation.
Nice. It's an excellent game.
It is.
All right. Well, there we go. That is over 30 different games here on our out of our top 10. I'm not going to put them together and come up with an overall. It's actually way more different than I was kind of expecting. We have a lot of games here, a few crossovers between the two lists, but in a lot of cases, there's a lot of different games here. So join us next week when we explore our top 10s for PS4. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.